Missed it live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
When I say green jobs, what comes to mind? Well, tell us, 063-688-0959. But one particular person who knows more about this and is playing a pivotal role in the development, sustainability, and a heightened level of encouragement around green jobs in South Africa is Nolo Mokoena, the co-founder and CIO of Creative Development. Such a pleasure to have you, sir.
Thank you very much for having me, Gugu.
Excited to speak to you.
I know. I'm looking forward to it too.
Awesome. You're someone, firstly, with a wonderful background. You're an entrepreneur, you're a speaker, you're an investor. Dude, you do a lot, bruh.
Yeah, I started quite young, pretty much to my mom's not so enthusiastic encouragement at the time. But yeah, I have always just kind of been inspired by her entrepreneurial journey, my grandfather as well. And so I was kind of doomed to end up here somehow. But I started quite young, started university, wasn't the most focused student. Mm-hmm. I was involved in student leadership, and I was lucky enough for some of those things to work out. And yeah, I found myself here, and I'm very lucky to be here.
Beautiful. I don't think you were doomed to end up in entrepreneurship. I believe it must have been your purpose and calling. So there's no negativity attached to it at all.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, if you look at the stats and the failure rate, you kind of feel like, oh, but definitely, yeah, I think I was better equipped, and I think I am lucky for that. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Let's talk about the concept around creative development. It's a very unique organization,
yes,
in terms of being a pan-African advocacy group, but there's a beautiful focus that you have, especially on green jobs,
yes,
within sustainability and green energy and many other spheres. And
sure,
for many of us, when we hear about, you know, green energy, I think we just think moving away from coal and electricity to some form of renewable energy. But the scope and context is so much wider than that.
Absolutely.
Help us unpack it.
Absolutely it is. I mean, it's two great questions. One is, creative development is quite an interesting invention. And Okito Wedi and I have the privilege of leading it. And really was built on two things. One, we found that the advocacy space in Africa is deeply problematic,
mm-hmm,
because it's mostly, you know, North-based organizations telling us what we should prioritize. And so we had to change that. But then number two, when you think about development, most of the spending goes to where development is needed.
Yes.
And that's Africa. Ironically, though, in the advocacy space, less than 3% of funding was coming this way. And so it is quite a natural response for us to go the entrepreneurial route and kind of create a platform that could create both the agility, the relevance, you know, I always do this with my hand, the feeling,
mm-hmm,
that we actually are speaking with an authentic voice and representing the needs of Africans. And by and large, a big focus of that naturally is youth. And so in particular, the green economy, I think we can all agree, and I mean, I'm trying to pick my words diplomatically here, but I'll be direct. It's a business show.
Yes, go ahead.
That we do need new sources of growth.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the investment is going into traditional sectors, but there's one fundamental flaw. It's how those sectors were built. And it was mostly extractive, not just in the mineral sense, but also in financial terms. And so for us to rethink a more equitable, more fair, one would even say more potential filled economic model, means that we need to focus on opportunities as and when they happen for the world, not just for Africa.
Exactly.
For the world. And so this conversation is happening now. It's happening at lightning speed. Regulation is being built. Frameworks are being established for industries. And this is the time for young Africans to be aware about the potential. And I mean, for us, the jobs is a great metric, because whether you like it or not, investment is happening on this continent. The question is it trickling down? Is it fostering development?
Mm-hmm.
Is it affecting healthcare? Is it affecting access to education? And it's currently not. And so the jobs barometer becomes vitally important in us really getting an understanding of if these investments are actually trickling down to the people they need to. And that's why this green jobs opportunity for Africa is so important.
Got you. There are so many points I want us to build up on, and maybe let's start off with the sectors that you mentioned before we pull to the 3% of capital and investment actually comes to this part of the world. Let's talk about those sectors, because you mentioned extractive sectors, and mining is definitely one that,
yes,
comes to mind, maybe even manufacturing. But that's typically where we see this nuanced conversation around green sustainability, the E in ESG.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm hoping that you can take us back to it to actually talk about the fundamentals of those sectors, because you're very right. They have transformed slightly in South Africa, very slow pace. But there's been, I guess, even a level of resistance or difficulty in making sure that we prioritize growth, transformation, youth employment within the green space of the extractive sectors in South Africa?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, I have to be careful with my words here because I'm a former mining boy. And so, what up, guys? Yeah, I think for me, it's just super important for us to understand. I mean, let me take a step back and talk about what we believe a green job is, which, by the way, there's been big debates globally about the definition of this.
Mm-hmm.
We actually don't believe in green jobs per se as is. We actually believe in the greening of industries.
What does that mean?
Now, that fundamentally means that are you able to make enough changes in a job definition or a process related to the job that has a lower carbon footprint? Because now we're talking about the greening of industries. One of the biggest challenges of why investment is not flowing is also the definition of parameters around the investment. And so for us, by having a greening approach, what we're seeing is a greater level of interest where we're able to match the risk component of what people perceive in the opportunity with the reality of what the environment can also sustain, because that's another thing, right? We need infrastructure to be able to create these green jobs. By having a greening perspective, we're now looking at green as a journey as opposed to a destination we need to arrive at tomorrow. And that provides a unique opportunity. Now, in terms of sector specific, green is cross-cutting, but the biggest drivers will largely be the energy sector, followed by agriculture, which will be vitally important, then obviously financial services and adjacent. And so those will be the large, the main focus. That we, and again, underneath that, you could go into other things. And
yeah,
we could talk about green buildings as well and so forth. But the infrastructure is more of a long-term thing. And so when you're looking at our horizon, which is up to 2030, those are the three key sectors that we'll be focused on.
Got you. You've actively participated in a number of global stages and with global organizations to amplify the messaging around the advocacy work that you do, not only in South Africa, but really across the continent. And I'm so intrigued to find out how has that shifted the needle in terms of the global understanding that Africa and her people need to be treated as peers when it comes to the greening of jobs or the creation of green jobs within our local context.
This is such an important conversation, and I think I'll probably start off with talking about the current landscape. A big part of the conversation has been driven largely from a policy and governmental side of things. It's a big conversation amongst countries. Even with G20 coming to South Africa next year, this will be a primary focus. Adjacent to that is obviously the conversation about the global re-architecture of the financial system. What does that mean for debt and so forth? And so that's another conversation we can have another day.
Mm-hmm.
But the second piece is where I want to really zero in on, which we've seen a significant amount of interest from private capital, and that could be all the way on the far left, meaning the philanthropy side of things. So people who really understand and are willing to risk money to pilot some of these things, all the way to, you know, the far right, which is, you know, people really investing and so forth. And so really for us, I think that's where we've seen the enthusiasm. It still has a long way to go because there are fundamental structural challenges that will still inhibit investment. I think the vast majority of those can be overcome through a more robust policy framework. And I think also, which is really important, we should focus on the greening aspect because we need sector-specific targets, which then take us on a journey, and that will facilitate a great amount of investment as well. And those two pillars are going to be fundamentally instrumental. A lot of the impetus and investment would come from the private capital space, but public sector and particularly policymakers are vitally important in ensuring that we don't just create opportunity for the sake of profitability, but we're answering our development goals, which is, again, what this whole drive is actually about.
Oh, you're tickling my brain cells because now I'm hearing, you know, SDG and, of course, the impact that it has on the ground. And you mentioned policy, and I'm so intrigued because one of the key insights from your report here actually does speak and identify markets like the DRC, Ethiopia, which are actually Africa's largest and second largest, you know, they have the biggest hydropower potential. 100%. So that obviously speaks to certain countries playing to their strengths from a policy point of view. It's attracting the private capital, but is it translating to the objectives in the interest of the people on the ground?
Right.
So I guess my question is, who's leading the charge on the African continent when it comes to creating green jobs or greening of jobs that will have a developmental role?
Sure. Well, the key guys who need to create jobs, the private sector, and I guess, you know, by and large, those are the people we're working with. Governments, I must say, and give kudos in those countries we focus in, South Africa, Nigeria, Kenya, Ethiopia, Congo, also Egypt, fantastic. You know, South Africa is a JP. We have a plan around it. People are mobilizing. Organizations such as ourselves and ACF and many others are doing great work. But jobs are created by economic opportunity and economic activity. And this is where it is so important, not just local entrepreneurs at the smaller scale, but also large international players who are coming in, to have a strong, robust plan around this. Now, we understand how compliance works. Mm. We understand they need to tick boxes. But we want to take this opportunity to actually do something that can truly transform Africans' lives. I will say, what is truly transformative is not working just a green job. We have to bring it back to creating access to dignified jobs for young people, creating a really strong middle class that can underpin the continued growth of our democracies across the board, and ultimately provide the kind of hedging we need for economic downturn, which we haven't seen in most economies that we work in. When things are good, things are really good.
Yeah.
And as soon as things get challenging, things get really bad. And really leveraging this opportunity, not just to drive investment, but to drive industry growth, opportunity, entrepreneurship, gender equity again.
Yeah.
You know, from all the jobs which will be created, roughly 10% will need a formal degree from a university. And so that's increased scopes for varsity. 30% of that will need some form of formal qualification. So this could be vocational training or certification.
Got you.
10% is administration, but then the balance is actually casual work, which we already are experiencing. It's in the construction center, you know, or our home, 100%.
Mm.
And so it's not like it's not a part of Africa's economic reality. What we're saying is there's a great opportunity here to pull in across the scale. So those who can study, you know, and graduate, they'll have an opportunity. Those who can get vocational training or a certificate, a six-month program there, you know, in green ratings or in EPCs or in solar or in that, they'll get that as well. And this creates a very unique opportunity to create some form of robust activity that, you know, we can really look back at for us in our case, at least by 26 years from now, and say we've truly made a dent in the space, and private sector is vital to that.
Definitely. If you've just joined us, you are hearing the voice of Nolo Mokoena, who is the co-founder and CIO of Creative Development, a key agency and institution, really, which is a pan-African advocacy and storytelling organization, which is really committed to driving positive change and outcomes on the African continent. Tonight, our conversation is specifically focused around green jobs, economic empowerment through green jobs and the greening of jobs. And this really gives us an opportunity to interrogate and understand the key themes around sustainability, around the E in ESG, being a focus on environment, and even all these conversations we hear about our shift to building a more sustainable society and environment. How do we all actively participate in it? Nolo's given us some insight into the key outcomes in terms of policy, some African countries certainly leading the charge, but the importance too of the private sector to come on board and actively allocate capital, and as a result create jobs that will speak to not only a level of sustainability in the environment, but the sustainability of the growth of us, the people on the continent, in terms of social development. Share your thoughts with us on 063-688-0959 if you've got some key questions or thoughts that you'd like to share on this one. And of course, you are listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 with myself, Guguletu Mfupi. Nolo, you've mentioned something so intriguing, and I must tell you, this is, it's getting me so excited, because I fully grasp what it is you're talking about.
Yeah.
We see JSE listed firms coming out year after year with green reports, sustainability reports. Of late, there's been a lot of concerns around greenwashing internationally as a theme, where companies talk about the sustainable operations they have. Meanwhile, they haven't done anything, right, to actually minimize their carbon footprint. I want us to talk greenwashing first before we actually talk about the practicalities of the green jobs, so that you and I and the Davids who are listening to the show tonight can actually say, okay, so that's the kind of job I can get in future that would be a green job. So maybe let's just start talking about the threats, especially around greenwashing, and how that erodes the outcomes and the deliverables that we're trying to attain.
Absolutely. Great question. First of all, greenwashing is a significant challenge.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing it particularly against any compliance-related standard is a significant challenge. But in particular, what we're seeing globally, particularly organizations which have more traditional value chains, less adept to needing to transform. That's another important thing. It's not just do you want to, it's do you need to. We're seeing a lot of people who are holding back in greenwashing. And in simple terms, greenwashing...
Should that even be a debate, by the way?
this is part of the conversation.
Sure.
And this is part of why the awareness is so important, is that most Africans don't understand that we've crossed the Rubicon. We've crossed that threshold of this is a nice to have. This is not a goodwill gesture. This is what it takes to have the operating license in society today.
Mm-hmm.
Much like you can do it across, you know, racial or gender lines, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And so greenwashing is a massive problem. It is rough throughout the ecosystem. I think the onus is not just on the companies themselves. I think organizations that are responsible for rating and grading these things,
yes,
also need to participate.
Mm-hmm.
And financiers as well, because they're the ones who require these things to be disclosed. And so when you're looking at public markets, again, broadening the investor, when we think of a JNC investor, most of us think of an old white man who's, you know, sitting on a few million rand. But the reality is, you know, young black South Africans can also buy shares. And so when we think ourselves as an investor, actual stakeholders or young Ghanaians or young Nigerians, when you start to think of it that way, even in the public markets, you begin to realize that this is a problem that presents an opportunity for us to participate in a far more different way. And again, the awareness is fundamentally where the problem is. But greenwashing will continue to exist until those largely impacted by it, which I believe is everyday citizens, bring it to an awareness and say, hey, we are not going to let this happen anymore. And more importantly, I think the continued shift of what good governance is, you know, moving, you know, shout out Uncle Mervyn King, but, you know, really deepening the principles of what good governance is, both for governments and private sector, to say this is no longer a nice to have.
Yes.
This isn't, I would say it's in fact not even a sign of being future thinking. It is only a response to the need which society has right now. And this is fundamental to your license to operate in today's environment, much like gender, much like race, much like any other factor that affects the S or the G in the ESG.
100%. I'm so appreciative of the detail that you've given us, because it does help us contextualize it and identify it within different companies. But I want us to challenge us as individuals. Mm. So, you know, when we're sitting around the braai after Christmas lunch, when we're sitting and perhaps strategizing for next year, you know, and we challenge each other to say, hold on, let's create more green jobs.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like? What does that mean even for me or my unemployed relatives who want to be employed but now have an opportunity perhaps to upskill, redevelop a skill, learn a new skill to actually attain a green job? How do we do that, and what are those green jobs we need to tap into in South Africa?
Fantastic question. Two fronts. There's two ways to participate in the broad movement, like I call it the broad movement. Number one is as an engaged citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this fundamentally means that around the braai, we actually have to read the article that spoke about COP29 that just happened and not skim past it.
Exactly.
And try and understand what that means. And this is cross-cutting across the board. This could be as a parent going as far as trying to understand what your child's school's green processes are.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're in a public school, the government does have green process guidelines, whether it's around recycling, water usage, the materials they use in schools, etc. Across the board, as a citizen, we have vast scope to grow and learn on how to engage on this issue, how to engage one another on this issue, but most importantly, make it a part of the psyche, make it part of the lived experience in Africa. Now,
and it's not that complex, right? It's actually identifying, do they have, I guess, solar geysers on the roof when there's no power? What are they doing in terms of water reticulation?
Yes.
Are they using grey water from the toilets to water the garden? Are they recycling newspapers? So it's practical. It's
practical,
not that we know.
Things.
It's not that complex.
Everyday things that we can do just as engaged citizens across the continent, where this is part of. But I would even go as far as say going to a festival.
Mm-hmm.
Festivals have green standards now of, you know, not using plastic. Sorry, it's all these little things that we can get better at knowing and engaging on as citizens. The economic participation, which I think is vitally important, really lies on two fronts. One, understanding what your sector looks like when it is greening.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two, getting a clear picture on the necessary skills that need to be acquired around that. For most people, this will be a retooling of the skill set they have.
Right.
For most people, it's a redressing. It's a new coat that can weather different storms.
Gotcha.
And then for a lot of new entrants, it'll also be learning about new skills and being able to tap into those training and education opportunities around that. I mean, there's great initiatives happening across the board. Alan Gray Makers, led by Seth Mooley.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing great work around that with TVEDs as well, getting into trade, so plumbing, electricians. We view that as a greening necessity, because when you think of green buildings, those two become really important, water and electricity. And so, again,
I see what you mean.
There's so much to go around that. And if we had more time, I would kind of lay out the entire, you know, framework for people to truly understand. But you can hop onto our website or find us or whatever, and we'll be able to hand more detail. But those are the two primary engagement points. One as a citizen, which this information is available for all of us. And then as an economic participant, getting really strategic about preparing yourself for that. Why I focus on that is because whenever they talk about Africans, particularly youth like me, they talk about us from a consumer standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
They'll talk about Africa has great potential because
demographic dividend.
There's 600 consumer. Million people who need soap. And I'm like, yeah, or bread. And I'm like, yeah, we do. But we're more than consumers.
100%.
And so that's why I focus on understanding what the opportunities are for you, retooling your current skill set. And if you don't have, there's opportunities to acquire new ones. Because I think that speaks about young people participating in the economy in a dignified way, where the soap and the bread is a byproduct as opposed to the main thing.
Exactly. And they can be the producers.
Absolutely.
Of the soap and the
Absolutely.
Bread.
Absolutely.
Never
Absolutely.
Mind just the consumers. Nolo, this has been a phenomenal conversation. I've thoroughly enjoyed it because it's really given us an opportunity to think about ourselves in the context of the green economy in a different way. Not as just individuals who are looking at companies that are going green and what they're doing in terms of transitioning, but as you've mentioned, how we can plug and play, not only from a consumption point of view, but being the innovators, being the investors, being the leaders and being the participants within that space. Go ahead. I do want you to close off with them, perhaps helping us identify how we can get a hold of you, because I can imagine we never know who's listening. There might be someone who works in policy, someone who's in the private sector, who might be leading some of the innovative changes we see in business to maintain the level of green jobs and sustainability in different sectors, or just the cuckoo who's saying, you know what? I think I need to reskill myself in order to be competitive within the green economy. Where do we find you? How do we find you? And is there anything in particular that you're looking to partner on or that you need as a business?
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Find us on our website, www.creativedevelop.org. Social media, CRTVE Development. That's on IG. You can find me, Nolo, at Nolo Mokwena on IG. Not great on Twitter. But you can find me there as well. I mean,
great on LinkedIn too.
Great on LinkedIn, yes. Nolo Mokwena, you'll find me on LinkedIn as well. So if you hit me up there, we can connect, talk about a little bit more show. In terms of where we are now, in terms of, I don't know who's listening, we launched this initiative at the Africa Climate Summit last year in Nairobi, Kenya.
Yes.
It was absolutely fantastic with some great partners. It's a 7-year job drive, which launched last year up to 2030. Where we're driving we're advocating for the creation of 1 million green jobs. We're at a stage now where we've mapped out absolutely everything, and there's one overriding reality. We can never have enough partners. And so whether you're a private sector participant who's concerned about it, whether you're a head of sustainability, anyone in financial services who's dealing with this, whether it's at a green bond level or any financing of any sort, policymaker, if you're an entrepreneur playing in this space, we have a great team with great capacity. We really want to connect with as many people as possible who are interested in this. Next year is a critical year. G20 is happening in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a travesty for us not to tell a story that's South Africa's picture of where the world can go.
Yes.
And that's the big opportunity I'd want us to zero in. So I'm really interested in South African business, big and small, but in particular big, because I'm on Google Show, would be great to connect with you. So whether CSI heads, sustainability heads, even if you're corporate leadership and you feel this is part and parcel of your contribution to South Africa's greatest story, we'd love to participate in that. This is not a one-hit wonder.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 7-year greening process, and we're going to be here for it. So if anyone's listening wants to participate, absolutely great. For everyday people like you and I, citizens, please start reading, stop skimming those articles, because some of our team write it and they work really hard on it.
100%. This has been so refreshing, Nolo, and I love that you've given us the opportunity to, you know, rethink and reimagine, you know, the role we play as Africans, and I'm deliberate about that, as Africans on the global stage, around how we interact with the message around green jobs, the greening of the economy, and sustainability, because it's often viewed as these international policies that we just need to fall in line with. But the truth is, we can really, you know, recreate the narrative and take control as to not only how we localize it for our economies, but even showing the world a thing or two and saying, hold on, this is how we're doing it.
Absolutely.
And we're doing it right and differently in a sustainable manner. Such a pleasure speaking to you, sir.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Really appreciate you coming through, and have a wonderful festive season.
Will do. You too. You too.
Definitely.
To your listeners too. Thank you.
That was my guest tonight, Nolo Mokoena, who is the co-founder and CIO of Creative Development, an important institution, as you can tell, doing and playing a critical role as a Pan-African advocacy group and storytelling organization committed to driving positive change, and in particular around economic empowerment through green jobs. Next time you hear sustainability, ask yourself, how do I play a role in that space?
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.